And I'm not forsaking you. Nothing has changed. And so all we need to do is we need to learn to look past the distraction and see a faithful God. That's always there. He never changes. He meant what he said, and he said what he meant, and we can believe him. And so when those distractions come, then we need to put we need to fix our eyes on him. Learn to look past the problem and the disappointment and whatever comes. And just move along. Just move along. Amen. Paul is writing to Timothy, and Timothy is a young minister. What I like about this letter, Paul wrote most of his letters to churches, but he wrote two to individuals, Timothy and Titus, and he calls them my son. Two young men that he raised spiritually, spiritual sons that he raised. And as I was thinking about that, I think we all have to have spiritual children. Every one of us. Amen. We're not here for ourselves. We're here to raise spiritual children, a spiritual generation, people that can come along, and when we move on, they can just step in, and the work goes on. Amen. And we need to pass on the faith. There are some things that I'm so glad that I grew up in the church, because I saw some things. My parents are not there anymore, but they made a deposit. They made a deposit that I can still draw from today. And so now it's our turn to make deposits. Not only in our own children, but look for spiritual children. All around, we can make some spiritual children, raise up strong men and strong women that will be strong in the Lord. Amen. Sometimes, the African people are very special people. And they have a different view on things. And we have some of them, some of our Bible school students and grads, when they write to me, there's one pastor in Nigeria, he always calls me daddy. And that's a great compliment. And we have raised sons and daughters around the globe. And now we have spiritual children. But we also already have spiritual grandchildren. The family is growing. Now, if every, and some of you, of course, help with that, and otherwise I could never do that alone. So you have spiritual children and grandchildren with us. But if we look around us and there are some people that live close to us that we can impact and raise some spiritual sons and daughters for the Lord.
Amen.
And so Paul writes to this young man, and look at verse 1 there in chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. It says, "You therefore, my son." Now, right away, he has an open door to this man's heart. When you call, you bring that affectionate title in, you have open ears and a ready heart. And he's speaking to him, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Be strong in the grace. The Amplified Bible calls it spiritual blessing. But I looked up the Greek word, and it means what we find in other places in the Amplified, unmerited favor. Be strong in the unmerited favor that is in Christ Jesus. That's a way to put something. I've wondered about that a long time, and I still sometimes do. How do you become strong in something that you don't deserve? Well, you do it by faith. You do it by faith. So by faith, we need to strengthen ourselves in the unmerited favor of God. Now, it says there in the Greek, and the way it's put in the tenses in the Greek, it means to be continually strengthened. It's not a one-time thing. It means he's writing to Timothy and he tells him, "You, my son Timothy, be continually strengthened in the unmerited favor which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. Why would he do that? Why should he do that continually? Because you need it every day. We need it every day. We need to strengthen ourselves. How many of us think of I need to strengthen myself? Sometimes we look to God and say, God, you need to give me strength. And then God lets, he speaks to us through Paul, and he says, well, you strengthen yourself. Strengthen yourself. Help yourself. I've already done all that I could do for you. Now it's up to you to take advantage of it. By faith. Amen. By faith. We say, well, I don't feel favored. I had a rough week. I had a difficult week. Well, take your eyes off the difficulty and look up to him and realize that you are favored of God. Amen. There are some blessings that God wants to put upon you, but you need to take it by faith and make it your own and call yourself blessed. Favored of God. I'm favored of God. And the devil says, well, no, you're not favored. I'm going to do this to you and that to you and that to you. You say, well, you lie. The devil is a liar. God speaks the truth. And the truth that we have in the Word, as Jesus told us, is the truth that sets us free. It will set us free of everything the devil brings against us. It's verse 2, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who are able to teach others also. That word commit, some translations say entrust. The Greek word there means to make a deposit. Make a deposit. Of all these things that you learned and saw in me, take some of that and make a deposit into the lives of those that are able to teach others also. Let's spread the good thing around. Let's make a good deposit. Now, do you know that by the way we live and by how we speak, we're making deposits all day long? All day long, we make deposits in the lives of people who watch us and listen to us. We make deposits. May God help us to make a good deposit that somebody can draw from in a day of trouble. Say, well, I've seen this person. I've seen this lady in a difficult time. And now I have a difficult time, and I'm going to do what she did. And she draws from that deposit strength and wisdom. And courage, and be encouraged, and say, it will not destroy me, but I will move on, and I will be successful in the purpose that God has for me. See, the one thing the devil is scared of is for you to fulfill your purpose. He is scared of that most because he knows that God has thoughts about you, thoughts of blessing and of good things. And when those thoughts come to into reality, into manifestation, he'll be in big trouble because he'll fail. And so one of his greatest priorities is to get you distracted from your life's purpose. Amen. Amen. Boy, and he knows how to do it. Yes. And sometimes we show him how to make it easy, how to have it easy. Don't let him see you suffer. Don't let him see you stop smiling. Yeah. Don't let him see that. Because he knows if he can take your joy, he'll have you. Yes, that's right. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Yes, amen. And when the joy is gone, the strength is gone. And because we know the Lord will never leave us or forsake us, we know we can always be joyful in the Lord. Whatever we go through, he'll help us out. He's always there with us. Not to see us to be defeated, but to see us win for him. Amen. Make a deposit into the lives of those that are able to teach others also. Verse 3, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. In the first days, the first years we had the Bible school, the first lesson we always taught was endure hardship. That's the first thing we always did for a long while. That's what we always did because we knew If you sign up for something that will be life-changing, hardship will come. Tough times will come. And we prepared our students beforehand. Endure hardship. Don't give up. It's going to be tough. I can't stand here. I wish I could tell you, you know, life's going to be grand, it's going to be easy, and it's smooth sailing, but I'll be lying. It is tough. We have an enemy that's a nasty enemy against us. And he doesn't play by the rules. He doesn't care about the rules. The only thing he cares about is to destroy you. That's the only thing that he cares about. And so we have to endure some hardship. Don't run away when things get tough. That's the time to stand. That's the time to stand. If you want to make a move, wait till the dust has settled and see how you feel then and if you still want to make the move. But don't run when things get tough. When things get tough, that's the time to stand. That's the time to say, I'm not giving up. I'm not leaving. I'm not running. I'm not stopping. I continue in this thing that where God placed me. Amen. And I'm not leaving. Amen. I'm staying in here, in there. And when it's time to move, God will move me when the circumstances are right for Him. Verse 4, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please Him who enlisted him as a soldier. Now, that's another way to look at ourselves, that we're soldiers. We're soldiers in the army of the Lord. And when you're a soldier, the one thing that nobody's interested in is your opinion. I was in the army. Nobody cared about, the corporal didn't care about my opinion. The sergeant didn't worry about how I felt. He didn't care about that. I was there to do a duty. That's the only thing that they were interested in, and that's the only thing that mattered. The rest just was not interesting enough to anybody. And now, Paul says, we're soldiers. And he says, don't get entangled in the affairs of this life. Don't let the things that happen begin to press down on you and distract you and confuse you. You are a soldier, and you are here to do the will of God. That's your business. Just do the will of the commander. Listen to him, obey him, follow his commands, and you'll see the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Verse 5, and also, if anyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. No shortcuts in the kingdom. Sorry. No shortcuts in the kingdom. I always tell you that with God, you're not in the microwave, you're in the crock pot. He is never in a hurry. He takes his time because he's shaping your character. He's preparing you for something great. He's getting you ready to be somebody that he can be so proud of. Somebody that can win until the last day. Amen. And that takes time. And so let's just forget about the quick fix thing. Oh, we had some people came and think, well, you know, these people believe in the goodness of God, and God's going to bless us with good health and good relationships and good families and good finances and so on. And if I go there, I'll be blessed. Oh, yeah, you will. But maybe not tomorrow. It may take a little while for you to develop your faith and to develop a stewardship that God can entrust some good things to you. It takes time. And so let's be the children that God wants us to be, and let's forget about the quick fix thing. And thank God for miracles. I've seen some, man. I have seen some miracles. That, boy, God can do a quick work. And I believe the days that we're entering in, God will do some quick things. Verse 6, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. The margin says the Lord will give you understanding in all things. I praise God for that more and more these days, because I begin to see more and more that God wants us to understand His will. He wants us to understand secret things. He wants us to know His mysteries. And He wants to give us spiritual understanding. He wants us to see these things. God doesn't want us to be confused. He doesn't hide His wisdom from us. The Bible says, if you need wisdom, ask of Him. And He will give it to you without regret. He wants us to have it. And so, yes, He will give you understanding. Praise God. And boy, I tell you, there are some things here in this Bible. It's almost as if this Bible has become brand new to me. Because God's adding, we're growing in understanding things. And we'll continue to grow. We can't make it spiritually with mental understanding. We need spiritual understanding to understand the mind of God and the plans of God. And the Holy Spirit is ready and busy to impart that to us. Now, verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. Now remember, he's writing this letter from prison. He's sitting in prison. And he says that he's suffering trouble as an evildoer. People say, well, you do evil things. He says, no, I'm just preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ that was raised from the dead. And for that, I'm in trouble. I'm in prison. Now, just think about the circumstances for a while. Here is this old minister. He's been around a long time. He's seen a lot, learned a lot. God revealed so much through this man to the church. And even today, we devour the letters of the Apostle Paul. We discover deep things there as we continue to study and study and study. Wonderful things that God reveals to His church through this man. And he's writing to this young minister who's just starting out in ministry. But the problem is, the young minister is outside and the old one is inside prison. Now, what kind of encouragement is that? Who would like to follow in the footsteps of somebody who ended up in prison unfairly, being called an evildoer, while all he did was good, trying to do good things? But he has a secret. Paul has a secret that he shares with this young minister. He says there in verse 9, let's do 8 again. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the word of God is not chained. The word of God is not chained. Boy, what a blessing it is to see that. That it's not the Apostle Paul, it's the Word of God that we need to look at. Even though he meant so much to this young man, he is pointing him now to the real source of power, and that is the Word of God. And he says, the Word of God is not chained. Even though I am chained, the Word of God is still free. And will always be free. And will always be able to accomplish the purposes of God in our lives. Well, I don't have power. I lost my freedom. The Word of God still has its power. And it never changes. And even though I am in chains today, the Word of God is not chained. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. And the Apostle Paul went through some difficult days. And he knows what he's talking about. He knows, and he reveals some of his secrets. In a time of disappointment, don't look at the disappointment. Look at the Word of God that's not a disappointment. There is always an encouragement and a source of wisdom and strength. Even when we become discouraged, the Word of God is an encouragement to us. It never changes. It's always there, and it's always free to do what it has to do in our lives. There's a time when Paul, when he writes and he says, I am knocked down, but I'm not knocked out. I'm knocked down, but I'm not knocked out. Why? Because the Word of God is not knocked out. It will continue to fulfill its purpose in our lives. And all we need to do is hold on to this Word of life. It will continue to impart into us the life that flows from God. You know, when I look at the Word of God and I see that Jesus is the Word made flesh, and I see Jesus busy walking through life, and I see things come against him, circumstances come against him, people come against him, a hostile culture is against him, he is free to do what he has to do. He's the Word made flesh. And he won every single time. He won every single time. Every answer they came and tested him, every question they came to test him with, he had the answer from God. And so even though they were against him in the flesh, the Word of God was free to flow through him to us. And today the Word of God is still free to flow to you and through you and make wonderful deposits, not only in your life, but through you in the lives of those around you. Do we need that today? Do we need that today? I'm telling you, I'm glad I've seen some things. As I grew up in a church, I have seen some things, and I know God can do all things. I've seen God do the impossible. I've seen it. I've seen God change circumstances around that we stood in awe, and we couldn't believe what we saw with our own eyes. And nothing has changed. God hasn't changed. The Word of God has not changed. The Holy Spirit has not changed. He's still in power today, and he can still do what he did back then. And he will continue to do mighty and great things. Our role in all of this is to have a strong and a rich deposit of the Word of God in our own lives and draw our strength and wisdom from him. You know, it's the one thing that I believe that should be the attraction in the church, it's the Word of God. There's a lot of things that happen, you know, there's a lot of things that happen, and I don't want to go into whether they're necessary or unnecessary, but the attraction is the Word of God. That is what, that's the only thing that can satisfy the hunger and the thirst inside of us. You know, we can have all these other attractions and contraptions and trappings and things, but it's the Word of God that changes our lives. It's the Word of God that gives us the strength to move on when things feel as if I can't go on. Paul knew that when he was in need, God could still provide. He knew that when he saw sickness or was confronted with sickness, that God could still heal. Even in the most difficult circumstances, I think of the time when they were shipwrecked and landed on the island of Malta, and the heathen there could do anything. They were wild people, and they things got a little hostile there for a while, for a minute or so, and when they finally saw the power of God working through this man, they brought the father of the captain or the chief of the island to him, and God healed him. Even in those circumstances, all things are possible. All things are possible. When you're lonely, even Paul sitting there in prison may be lonely. Rich letters flowed out of him. In the most discouraging circumstances and unfair circumstances, the wealth that God deposited in this man flowed out to encourage those on the outside. What a deposit the Word of God is to us. What a wealth we have in the Word of God. And so this is the only thing that can satisfy our hunger. It's the Word of God. And this is the encouragement of today. You have something in your hands that is so precious and so powerful. Don't ever neglect it. Don't be distracted from it. I just read through the history of Wycliffe this week. Wycliffe was the first person who translated the Bible into English. And they persecuted him heavily. And boy, I tell you, God protected that man. They could have killed him. And they wanted to. But somehow they just left him alone. They hated him so much that years after his death, they dug up his bones and burned it. So much they hated him. And he paid that price to have the Bible accessible to the ordinary man. And today, ordinary men have Bibles in their hands, but they don't read it. But he knew how important it was for every person to be able to read the Bible for themselves and pay that price. And we should cherish what we have. What a treasure it is for us to read our own Bibles. On a Wednesday morning, we have a prayer meeting with some of the pastors here in town, as you know. And we always read a chapter together every Wednesday morning, and we pray together, and sometimes we fellowship together for a while. And one of them this past week said, I begin to notice that some people don't even bring their Bible to church. And I thought, I'm sitting with this whole history of Wycliffe in my heart, in my head, and I think how things have changed. That there was a time when people were willing to risk their lives for this word. And today, it's so freely available. Now that it's freely available, people don't care about it. You ought to have a personal relationship with your Bible. We're not leaving a Bible in the pew that you can pick up and read. You need your own Bible. Now, don't get quiet on me now. You have to have your own Bible, and you know where to find things in this Bible. You need to know where to find things, and you need to read it and become acquainted with it and study it. Do you know that we don't have an instruction to read the Bible, but we do have one to study the Bible? Now, that's different. Come on now. You know, the word disciple means student. Jesus said, make students of all the nations. Amen. Students. Which means you're going to sit and study this word. And every few years, you need to get a new one. If your Bible is 20 years old and you still use it today, you haven't used it enough. Is it true or not?
Amen.
Amen. So every year, every few years, you need to go look for a new Bible. It's getting quiet. Yeah, I don't know why. We're word people. It shouldn't be quiet. This word can never be chained. They tried to destroy it. They tried. But there's more of it today than there ever was. They can't stop it. It's everywhere. It's available in so many languages, and after so many years, hundreds of years, it's still the best-selling book of all times. It tells you something. Now, if it's still the bestseller after all these years and all these attempts to discredit it, to destroy it, to make people suspicious about it, and people still keep it the best seller. There is something there. There is something there. And you better know what it is. Of course, I'm not telling you. I'm talking to the people who listen to it on the internet. But this word cannot be stopped. This word cannot be chained. it will always accomplish what God intended for it to accomplish. Amen.
Amen.
When Paul was shipwrecked, he knew that he was not going to sink with that ship. He knew that God has purpose with him. And he had no fear. He wasn't scared at all. He knew. And God spoke to him. He knew, I'm not sinking with this ship. Boy, they want to sink, let them sink, but I'm not sinking. I am not sinking because I have a word to preach.
Amen.
And I know where to get what I have to preach.
Yes.
It's in the Word of God.
Amen.
And this Word cannot be chained. It cannot be locked up. It will always be free to accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. Let's go to Psalm 119. And I just want to read a few verses. Although the whole psalm is about the Word of God. And no wonder it's the longest chapter in the entire Bible. It's about the Word of God. Psalm 119. Let's look at verse 72. Psalm 119, verse 72. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. That's not just a nice verse, you know. The heart that this came out of knew something. That if you have this word, they can take all your coins of gold and silver. But this word will always give back to you and keep you well provided for and keep on blessing you. I was disappointed when they bulldozed Pastor Cesar Wani's church in Sudan. I was a bit angry too. Because he told me it's the largest church in all of Sudan. And he told me, he said, not a penny that we used to build this church came from the West. All came out of Sudan. Where Christians are persecuted and killed and kept poor. And I said, you know, angry as I was, I said, he'll rebuild that church because they can take his money and they can take his church, but they cannot take his faith. As long as you have this, nobody can take things from you because this is the source of our faith. And it will always enable us to pop our back to the surface. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver. Verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Forever. It's settled in heaven. Verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies. What do you think of that one? To be wiser than your enemy. Well, that puts you ahead. Every single time. It puts you ahead of them. You know where every trap is, and every pothole, and everything that is set up to slow you down, or stop you, you're wiser than your enemy.
Amen.
It says, therefore, they are ever with me. Verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Now, that's interesting, too, that you can be wiser and smarter than your teachers. Because God gives you wisdom from His Word.
Amen.
He imparts wisdom to you that is above that that people can teach you. Verse 100, I understand more then the ancients, older people, the wisdom of the wisdom of the old people, says, because I keep your precepts. Verse 104. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Every false way is every way that's against the word of God, that teaches differently. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. The word of God is the source. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the word of God. So the more we hear the word of God, the stronger our faith will be. Faith doesn't come through prayer. Faith comes from the word of God. When we were in Bible school, we didn't know that. You know, we grew up believing somehow that if you pray more, you have more faith. And there was a guy sitting next to me in Bible school, and he had just come from a week of fasting and prayer, he said, to have more faith. And so the lesson of the evening was about that. You don't pray for faith. You study the word for faith. You hear the word of God for faith. And I looked at him, and he looked at me. I said, you know, you wasted the whole week. He spent the whole week fasting and praying for faith. Now, it's good to fast and pray, but don't do it for faith. If you want to grow your faith, you feed more on the word of God. You get more of it on the inside. You make a richer deposit. When that deposit is so big and so strong that it overpowers the thoughts of the world, your faith will be dangerous to the world, to the enemy. And so when distractions come and disappointments come, it's time to focus on the word of God. And when you feel, I'm limited in, I'm in a box, and I'm in prison, and the devil surrounded me, and I have enemies all around me, the word of God's not there with you, chained and limited. It's still free. And it will accomplish its purpose. And it will do what God said it would do. If you hold on to it, it will accomplish its purpose. Don't put more faith in your circumstances and your disappointments. They will always be there. That's life in a broken world. There will always be disappointments and pain and confusion and things that keep us busy in our minds. That's not where our focus should be. Our focus is on the Word of God. Amen. And it gets tough. Yes. It gets tough. Pastor Toby, is it true? He knows what it is. It's hard at times. But the good thing is, the Word of God cannot be changed. Amen. It will always be there, as powerful as the day when God spoke it. Hallelujah. It will always have the same power. It doesn't lose its power now that human wisdom has so increased and knowledge has increased. No, it doesn't take away anything from the Word of God. It's still as powerful as it was back then. It never changes. It never changes. I don't know, what's this smart man, Hawkins? Stephen? Richard? Hawking. He's here now in Canada, you know that. And he's making some statements here. And people cling to him. And one of the things he said when he first came just a week or two ago was that science will replace religion. And I'm telling you, he's not a smart man. He's not. Well, you know religion, what he means. We know that we have a different perception of what religion is. But what he meant was that science will rise up. And he really spoke about faith in God. Science will replace our faith in God. He's not a smart man. He may know some things that we don't know, but we know some things that he doesn't know. And what we know is what matters.
Yes,
amen.
Amen.
And so, if you had a rough week, let me tell you today, you don't have to fix your eyes on that. That will change. Yes. But God's word will not change. Amen. If the devil comes down on you and it's a little heavy on you, you just remember the word of God has not changed. It's not chained. And the word of God is not oppressed. And the word of God is not depressed. And the word of God is not broke. And it's not sick. It's free and powerful and glorious. And it will last till the last day. God didn't give us something that is powerless. He gave us something by which He created everything that you can see. There's power in the Word of God. And will always be so. Praise God. It's a living God. He gave us a living Word. And it's a Word that has power to change our circumstances and the things that bother us. And we can rise above the circumstances and be strong in the Lord. Amen. And so this young man looks at this old saint in prison, and he's not discouraged, but he's encouraged. He doesn't feel, well, where does this go? Just look at this man. He had all these miracles, and he brought all this revelation, and now look at him. Now look at him. But out of that man in prison flows wisdom that no prison wall can stop. There flows an encouragement that overcomes all the depression that you find in prison house. And he realizes, even though I'm in prison, I'm a free man. And that's why when they put their feet in stocks and beat them up, they could sing praises in the middle of the night, because their eyes were not on the beatings, it was on the word of God they knew would deliver them out of that trouble they were in, and that the word of God will deliver you out of your trouble that you sometimes find yourself in. Amen. It's a strong word, and it's worthy of all acceptance. Okay, let's quickly go back to 2 Timothy, and we'll close with that. A few things there. Verse 11. Verse 10, I think, is where we stop, or 9. Let's do 10. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect. Let's say that today. I endure all things.
I endure all things.
Because other people are looking at you.
Yes.
You need to endure all things.
Yes.
Even if you don't feel like it, you have to. Because other people depend on your testimony.
Yes.
And you're making it a positive. Sometimes we make our deposit on our lowest day. We make the richest deposit. When people look at us and they think, you know, just look at that. And they see the smile and they hear the encouragement that comes out of you. They know that you have something that the devil cannot keep down there. And you make a deposit inside of them. That will help them out of their troubles. Therefore, I endure all things for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying. Now, the next two verses, 12 and 13, 11, 12 and 13, three verses there, was a song that they sang in back in those days. We have the words of a song that they sang in the New Testament church. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. See, endurance has its reward. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. You cannot afford to deny Him. You cannot do that. Now, He'll forgive you. Thank God for that. But that's not a smart thing to do. That's not a smart thing to do. But He'll forgive you. He forgave Peter who denied Him and restored him. But you're playing with dangerous things there. Verse 13, if we are faithless, He remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. God would deny himself if he stopped being a faithful God. But he can't. Even if we are faithless, God is still faithful.
Amen.
Do you know that God has more faith in you than you have in you? Yeah? He knows what you're made of. He put his own DNA in your spirit, man.
Amen.
He knows what you can endure.
Yes.
He knows that. And he has faith in you. I sometimes look at God and think, God, I don't know why you even bother with me. And then I see this. God says, I am faithful.
Yes.
Even though you're faithless, I'm faithful. And something we can take and pull ourselves up on it. And when we're down there, we say, I can make it.
Yes.
I'll endure this thing. It's not going to beat me down. It may knock me down, but it will not knock me out.
Yes.
I'm going to pop up again, and I'll be victorious. And I will fulfill my purpose to the glory of God.
Amen.
I'll do what he called me to do, and I will accomplish it to his glory. And we leave here satisfied.
Yes.
Just like Jesus did when he reported back to the Father just before he went to the cross in John 17. He said, Father, I've done all that you gave me to do. That's the way to go. I've done it all. I'm ready. I'm out of here. I'm not stopping halfway because the devil tripped me up.
Yep.
No, we're going right up to the end.
Amen.
And leave here in glory.
Yes.
Amen. Let's all stand. Praise God. His word is not bound. His word is not chained. And if you're sick this morning, I want to tell you, you may feel chained and you may feel limited down, but God's word is not chained. You put your trust in him today, and you'll receive that healing that he said in this word, that by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. And if you're beat down, and you're broke, and you have stuff that keeps on pressing down on your mind, this word is for you this morning.
Amen.
The word of God is not chained, it's free, and it will accomplish what it was sent to do. It will not return to him void. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we bless you today. Thank you, Father, that even in the times of difficulty and pain and confusion and disappointment, you gave us a word that will always be there.
Thank you, Lord.
To encourage us, to restore us, to straighten us out, and help us to rise up to the full stature of who you created us to be, to your glory. Father, as you look down on your children today, we want you to be proud as we walk tall in the truth that sets us free and keeps us free. We honor you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for this body. Thank you for the deposit of faith that's in this body to tackle challenges and take on assignments that are much greater than we are because of you. And we bless you today in Jesus' name. Amen.